Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And tonight, I want to teach you again. We are continuing in our study on the topic of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, I call this the Holy Spirit and closeness. The Holy Spirit and closeness, or being close. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to read the last three or four verses here. We're going to start in verse number 11 together and find your places there. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 through 14. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, watch this, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. We're going to lift that last little line there, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. That's what I want to talk to you tonight about. I have been around Christian people and Baptist churches my whole life. You have to understand something. I'm 47 years old. I've been going to a Baptist church 48 years. You say, that's impossible. Mm-mm. I went for 9 months before I was hatched. Amen. I went to church. Now, I've spent my whole life, my adult life, working with people. I really have. From the time I was 18 years old, and actually before then, I literally worked with people. My whole life has been spent working with people. I have found that all people want to be close to somebody. Let's face it, people long for closeness. They long to be close to someone. By the way, look at the way the American society acts, searching to be close. They search for it. We long to be close to professional athletes. You watch a professional athlete at a ballpark, and he gets near the stands, and people are just hollering and screaming and leaning over, almost falling out of the stands just to try to get a handshake or a touch or an acknowledgement to say, I got close too. Okay, you got close to him. They long to be close to politicians. Why? We don't know. we'll skip that one. We long to be close to, we watch people that just, they do everything they can to get close to what we would call wealthy people. famous people, Hollywood, and all the actors and actresses. If you've never been to Hollywood and went down Vine Street, and Hollywood Avenue, and seen the wonderful Hollywood Walk of Fame. Amen, Miss Kay? You say, what is it? It's a dirty, old, nasty sidewalk in L.A., and you got to kick the cigarette butts and the chewing tobacco off the side of the street to see whose name's on those plaques. You say, no way. That's all it is. The people that live there, it's nothing. To those of you that think it's something, you go visit there, you'll find out. It's nothing. It's just a sidewalk. Now, we live in a, what I call, and don't laugh too much on this, but we live in a touchy-feely generation. Used to be, men walked up and shook hands with another man. He would greet a lady. If she offered her hand, he would shake it. Now, if you don't run up and hug and squeeze and turn somebody in circles, you haven't been close to somebody. I just don't get that. You have young people, you look in our school system, and young people run and hug each other. And by the way, it's not wise for boys and girls to hug each other. Just, parents, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Men, don't worry. I'm not going to run up and hug your wife. It just doesn't work that way. She's not old enough to be my mama. She ain't getting a hug from me. And if she's old enough to be my mama or my grandma, okay, we'll talk about it. But past that, forget it. You say, why? I used to say if they're young enough to be my daughter or old enough to be my mother, I'm to the age now, the young enough for my daughter thing, it's way too old now. And I just don't do that. Now, some of the little ones, sure. But once they get to about school age, it's done. Say, why? I just have to protect myself. And that's the way it is. We live in this touchy-feely generation. Now listen to me very closely. We live in where everybody's touching and holding hands and hanging all over each other, and we're hugging and, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, and throw the word out. But let me ask you a question. Where's the closeness? Where is the closeness? We have an appearance of closeness, but we have little to no real closeness in America. We claim we have closeness, but we don't have any. We live in houses with our families. But let me ask you a question. How close are you to the people inside your home? Do you know what their favorite color is? Doesn't matter to me. I'm colorblind. Do you know what their favorite flower is, or their favorite food, or if it's a man, any? Do you even know them at all? How close are you? Some of you are so busy working to pay for all the things that you think make you close to the people inside your house, you're not even close with the people that you're busy for. Did you catch that? Last week when Kay and Kermit called and said, look, we've got a need. They said, are you too busy? And I made the statement, and I mean this, if I'm too busy to go help somebody, I'm too busy. My things can be put aside. I'll put more hours to do the things. The people are the most important thing. That's what I'm here for. Now, listen to me very carefully. Man needs fellowship. That's not something that is asked, but man needs fellowship. For a person to be a well-balanced or a complete person, they need fellowship in three different areas. Now listen to me very closely. Man needs fellowship with those that are above him. For you to be a complete person in fellowship, you have to spend some amount of time with somebody that intimidates you. You have to spend some time who is older, has a bigger position, who holds something over you, and you need that so that you can learn from them, grow from them, be strengthened by them, be encouraged by them, and let them lead you so that you can one day be where they are. I am watching a generation of people who only want to be around people they can lead, and they're afraid to be around leaders. You have a government that says big business is bad and big bosses are bad. CEOs are bad people. They make too much money. Those are bad people. We need to take from them and give to the people that don't do anything. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. Somebody needs to sit down with those successful. By the way, a poor person never hired anybody. I don't mean to be unkind. Now, those poor people, there's a lot of CEOs that used to be poor people. They worked their way up and earned their way up and learned from people over them and innovated their way to where they became wealthy. And now look where they are. They showed you the path out, but everybody wants to criticize the fact of where they are, not where they came from. Everybody doing all right? So man needs to fellowship with people above him. Number two, man needs to fellowship with people that are his equal. Do you know that it's important for you to spend time with people that are just like you? You know it's important for you to spend time with people that are about the same age, going through some of the same things that you go through, facing some of the things that you face. You can rejoice about or gripe about the same things and understand each other a little bit. Man needs to fellowship with someone his equal, either in age or rank, that type of thing. Number three, man also needs to fellowship with those that are beneath him. Now, let me say this. That's that term, beneath you, that could be a belittling term to some. I don't mean it in a belittling way. But for instance, Rachel, you're what, ninth grade-ish, somewhere in that ballpark? I'm above her positionally. Now, I'm no better a person than she is, but guess what? She's beneath me. I've been through the ninth grade more than once. I've taught ninth grade. I have taught ninth grade English. I've taught ninth grade math. I've taught ninth grade science. I've taught ninth grade history. I've taught most everything she's about to learn. I've already taught that. So positionally, I would be above her, by the way. And it's my responsibility to spend some time with people like that so I can teach them. Everybody understand that? Everybody needs somebody they can teach. If all you do, by the way, that's what's wrong with some of the higher education in America today. Everybody's so enraptured with how much they know, but they can't use anything they do know. If you don't have all these facts and you haven't put all this time into school, well, what good is it? If it's unusable information, what good is it? Now, listen to me very carefully. Not having all three forms of this type of fellowship keeps you from being a complete person. Now, let me take just a little break and caveat, and let me make a statement here. This is why it's important to let everyone have an area they excel in. This is why it's important for everybody to have an area that they excel in. For instance, even your children. Do you know that your children need an area to excel in? I did not say your children should surpass you. I said they should excel. If your child is 5, 6, 7, 8 years old and they're better than you in an area, and I'm not talking about a talent necessary, little Hannah playing the piano, she puts us all to shame, amen? That's just, that's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about an area of life that you can work on and excel in. Now listen to this statement very carefully. Your children should not surpass you till they're well into their teen years or into their early adult years. Do you know I taught my children to be soul winners? I have one of my children. I think that child could witness to the devil and lead the devil to the Lord. It doesn't matter. He could talk to the booger man and get him saved. I'm telling you, and have no fear. Now me, I'm not that bold. But I promise you this, my children haven't won more people to Christ than I have yet. Though some get it a little easier than others, guess what? They got a ways to go. Say why? I've been at it longer and I'm not giving up, amen? I hope they one day do surpass me, but they're going to work at it because I'm going to make sure of it, amen? Say why? Now I have one of my children. They think more mechanically than I do. Say what? How do you think mechanically? Hey, Dad, can you fix this for me? You laugh. I'm not kidding. 1-800-MEL-BUSH. Amen. I do not think mechanically. I know who to call. But if you've ever seen some of the things I've worked on, it takes somebody else 3 times as long to fix it after I'm done. It wasn't broke before I started, but it was bad broke when I got done. Say why? I don't think mechanically. I really don't. And you say, well, everybody could. Well, some take it a little bit more easily. I've chosen to think in more areas of life than just that, so I pay the price for it. And I'm dead sure not going to touch electricity. Amen, Brother Gus? I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. Now, listen to me. That's why you need to let your children excel in an area of life. My daughter loves to cook. And by the way, does a very good job at it. Can I tell you why? Her mama got her cooking early in life. All of a sudden, she caught the bug. Now, she still hasn't surpassed my wife, but there's a few things that my boys, after they left home, said, can Mindy do this? Can you have Mindy make mac and cheese for us and send it to college? Say, why? Because that has become her signature dish. Amen? Why? Because she ate so much of it. I think when she dies, she's going to bleed mac and cheese. What a way to go, amen? Now, wait a minute. My wife has let my daughter excel in certain areas. She's not as good as my wife at knowing how to shop for 2 weeks at a time and have all the food in the cabinets and make sure and make the list out and make sure you got it all. Now, she's getting there because my wife's teaching her. But my wife's been doing it for 25 years. She is starting to excel in that area. Does that make sense to everybody? Everybody needs an area to excel. Now, this is the sermon. Here we go. Fellowship comes through a medium or a central force or idea or truth. For instance, I hear men talk from time to time, and they'll start a conversation, and one will either see a flag or they'll see a military emblem on another man, say, "Hey, were you in the military?" "Yeah, well, so was I." And all of a sudden, they have an immediate bond, an immediate closeness. Say, why? Because they have both served in the military. They didn't serve together, but they have a common bond, and that medium or that bond is the military. It could be that one was in the Marines and one was in the, amen, and one was in the Army or the Navy. It doesn't matter. They both served. And there's automatically a closeness there. It just automatically draws them together a little closer. You take two children growing up and they leave home. Eventually, they get close. Can I tell you why? Because they have the common bond of a mom and a dad and a home that they grew up in. And there's just something about that maturity that there's a bond because of how they grew up. You take two college graduates. You take Brett and Melissa. They graduated from the same Bible college my wife and I graduated from. I can mention Bible college, and they know exactly the same halls, classrooms. They're thinking the same thing I'm thinking because that's where they went. But you take Casey Rogers, who just graduated. When I say college, I can relate to her in a different way because we've both graduated. She started her J-O-B this week. Started teaching this week, and Monday morning about 6 o'clock, I texted her and said, just told her I was praying for her first day on the job. And she texted back, "Thanks, Brother Bush." The end of the day, I let her know. I asked her if she made it, and she said, "I did." I said, "Did all the rest of the kids make it, though? That is the question." And we'll find that out in about another 180 days. But, you know, there's a common bond of teaching that she and I will have because I've taught before. You take two businessmen, two men that work in business and run their own businesses. They have a common bond there. They understand certain things. You take two church members. You have the common bond of Grace Baptist Church. There's automatically a closeness there because you understand where we're coming from. Now, I threw this one in because I thought it was funny. You say, why? Just because this is probably the most common bond and people don't even realize it. Two people that have the same ailment. You know, "Oh, this hurts." "Oh, yours does too?" It's amazing how close you get over something that hurts. Amen. It just is funny to me. Now, wait a minute. It could be cancer. It could be a joint. It could be whatever. Now, I'm not talking the kind that Ellen has, but I'm talking about, this is not Colorado or Washington State, amen, but, you know, some type of bone that hurts, or it could be some kind of surgery that everybody's, that you've had, and boy, all of a sudden you lock in on each other. Say, what is that? There's a bond that holds it together. Now, the closeness of fellowship comes by a common medium that allows for an immediate closeness. Let me show you what I mean. There's two types of closeness. I have here some dirt. I dug it out after the rainstorm today. You can take that dirt, squeeze it into a ball, put it right there, and you're trying to draw that dirt closer, but all you're doing is squeezing it closer to itself, right? In a little while, just because it'll dry out, that dirt won't be close anymore. It's not held together by very much. It doesn't take very much to pull it apart. Say why? Because it's trying to get close to itself. There's no common bond to hold it together. Now listen to me very carefully. I have here, man, do I have a mess. I have a magnet, and I have some paper clips. Those have gotten close. And the common bond is that magnet. It's an outside source of power. It's an outside strength or bond that pulled about 15 or 20 paper clips right together. Boom. And as long as they're not pulled off of that, they stay close. Unless you shake them off. We're coming back to that in just a minute. Hang on. Now, listen to me very carefully. The Bible uses this term that we read about 15 minutes ago, the communion of the Holy Ghost. That means this. The communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit means He can become the medium for closeness. He becomes the magnet to draw people closer to each other, not just to Himself. And by the way, as this dries out and shrivels up and breaks up and dries up, it doesn't do much. That'll stay together. Because you have a power that will, you know, that magnetic force will not stop. Just like the Holy Spirit will not stop. Now listen to me. There's no need for friction. There's no need for people getting angry and yelling and screaming and hollering and not getting along and fussing and feuding and all the nasty stuff we go through. There's, unless it's doctrinal issues, there's no need for churches to go through fusses and feuds and fights. Can I tell you what happens? They're either held together this way or they're held together this way. That's all it is. And you choose. You choose whether you just want to pull yourself closer to yourself or you want that common bond, that communion of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you, I think, 4 points, and I'm going to be done. I'll run through these fairly quickly. We'll be out on time. You do not, number one, get close to somebody just by wanting to be close to somebody. Did you catch that? Brother Smith, stand up. If you don't mind, stay right there. I can say all I want. I want to be close to Brother Smith. Oh, I want to be close. Oh, I want to be so close to Brother Smith. I want to be close. I want to be close. I want to be close. I am no closer to Brother Smith. You can sit there and desire closeness all you want. But until there is a common bond that pulls us together, there's no closeness. You might even shake his hand. I shook his hand. I got to be close to him. But there is no real closeness. Not until there becomes a relationship through a common medium is there closeness. Thank you, Brother Smith. Have a seat. A desire for closeness does not make you close. Did you ever see in the news from time to time these stalkers of movie stars? Oh, they want to be so close to this person that they're spying on them and they're sending them notes and they'll tell everybody in the world, oh, I'm close to so-and-so. No, you're not. No, you're not. they're not close. They think they are close because in their mind they are close to them. But there is no closeness. just saying you want to be close and asking the Holy Spirit to be close to him does not make you close to the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? Just because you have a desire to be close to the Holy Spirit and say, well, Holy Spirit, I want to be close, 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 does not make you close. Just like I got no closer to Brother Smith just because they said, oh, I want to be close, I want to be close, I want to be close. It doesn't do any good. Now, here we go. Number two, don't put your shoes on, ladies. Number two, closeness is the byproduct of sharing a load. Closeness is the byproduct of sharing a load. Can I tell you something? Brother Smith and I never set out originally to be close, did we? Why don't you stand back up there for a second? But 5-6 years ago, I guess, 4-5 years ago, I lose track of time. They came. I got to know him. We started working on a project together. One day we jumped in the saddle together, not literally, but we jumped in on a project together. We were working on something, and we started talking. You know what? We both walked away and said, man, I'm starting to feel close. I started praying for his little girls and his wife. We started talking about his family, and we got closer. Say, what happened? We started doing more projects together, and we got closer in the load. And as we work together, thank you, Brother Smith, he helps me lead the singing here. He helps me with the baptistry and his family, just busy with a lot of different things around here. And as we've worked together, we didn't set out to be close. But the result of working together drew us closer. The job is the medium of closeness, not closeness. Closeness can't be a medium. Working is a medium. Going through a burden together is a medium. Going through a heartache together is a medium. Sharing the same load of, going through some loads with Arlene. We've been through not battles between her and I, but she's gone through some tough days. Can I tell you something? Guess what? Because you share the load together, you get a little closer. Everybody doing all right? Hang in there. Going through a burden with someone allows you to be close because you've pulled the same load together. Going through a burden together allows you to be close because you pull the same load together. Let me make the statement this way. Closeness comes by work, not by play. Closeness comes by work, not by play. The statement, families who play together stay together. I know a lot of families that are playing, and how much do they stay together? Everybody doing all right? Families who work together stay together. I'm not saying that your house should be a slave labor camp. But I am saying this. Families that learn how to work together, carry the same load together, they're able to get in the harness together, those are the families that make it all the way through together. A husband and a wife that learn to work with each other are the couples that make it in a marriage 52 years. Don't you think Mrs. Brining's wanted to knock him in the head a few times? She probably has. And he's wanted to do it. Yes, you got the paddle back there now. She's about ready to whoop him. Now, wait a minute. But I love it. I'll call the... remind Brother Brining of a meeting or something. Mrs. Brining say, oh, we're out in the garage painting the floor together. I'm thinking, painting the garage floor. God bless them. If I had a garage, I might paint the floor too, but I don't have one, so I don't have to paint the floor. I don't have to paint the walls or any of it. Now, wait a minute. They're in their senior years, but they're working together. By the way, ask them. That's how you make it together. You make it together by working together. Parents, some of you have a buddy relationship with your kids, but you're not taught them how to do anything. You haven't worked with them. From the time my boys could walk and hold on to that little bar, they were about 4 years old. You know, there's two bars on a lawnmower handle. One's made for dad, one's made for junior. Now, for a while, junior doesn't do much, but he's out there. All of a sudden, he gets big enough to start pushing. You say, what happened to you? I start backing off and let him push a little more. Say, why? Because you're lazy? No, because he needs to learn how to work. He needs to get the credit for the work. Man, my kids carried wood from the time they could carry a piece of wood. They might carry one at a time. That's okay. They didn't have to carry, you know, 120-pound load at a time. They came where they could carry the 120 pounds at a time, and I carried one. Now they left, and I got to carry it all. Now, wait a minute. But you know what? A family that works together stays together. Let me go a little farther here. Churches that work together have a closeness. Churches that only play together have a superficial closeness, and they're not close. You look at all these churches that have all their entertainment stuff. They have their bands, and they have their parties, and they have their all the play stuff that they do. And I'm not against having some activities for our people. But I'm telling you what, this church is close. Can I tell you why? You should have been here about 6 o'clock last night watching these men tear down a fence, having the time of their life. Say why? Because demolition is always fun. Man, tearing things down, working together. I was laughing at Brother Schenenberger. He pulls his torch out to cut one of the posts down. First post he goes to tear into. He's torching it, Brother Gus. It's turning red hot, but it won't cut through. He said, this thing ought to cut through already. He puts it on a little hotter. Still not cutting through. He said, I don't know what's going on. Get that thing a little hotter, and all of a sudden the hole pops through, and the water starts going out the side of it. That pipe was totally full of water. It took him 10 minutes to let the water run out of that thing before he could finish cutting it. He had to heat all that water up before he could cut through it. We're over there laughing at him. He said, let's go cut a few others down. We'll let that thing drain a while. I was laughing. We were having fun. I was watching Brother Gus. Man, I got here. He had one end of the fence down, him and Brother Hawkins. I get here, and all of a sudden I watch the fence go, doo, doo, doo. I thought, man, these guys are animals. He's like, look out, preacher. Boom, 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 boom. I think, wow, that was a lot of fun. You say, what was it? They were working together. There was a camaraderie there. Can I tell you something? The play mentality does not give you closeness in a church. I'm for youth activity. But can I tell you the teenagers that are closest to one another, the ones that go out soul winning? They have the bond of the Holy Spirit and work for the Lord to hold them together. It's not being out on the ball court together. I'm not against playing ball. But that's not what's going to make you close. Sports has become a god in America. Sports are not important. And I love sports. But sports are not as important as learning how to work. Boy, that's a good statement. Now, listen to this very carefully. Working with the Holy Spirit is what will make you close to the Holy Spirit. Working with the Holy Spirit is what will make you close to the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? Some of you hear the word Holy Spirit and say, oh, I'd like to be close, I'd like to be close, I'd like to be close, but you don't know what the Holy Spirit is. You don't know who the Holy Spirit is. And you don't know how to work with him. By the way, that's why this preacher is going to go to his grave saying, you need to go soul winning. Soul winning is working with the Holy Spirit, because you can't win anybody to the Lord without the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that leads them to Christ. You're just the messenger. That's when you're in the saddle with the Holy Spirit. When we walked into the hospital room, Brother and Mrs. Kermit, last Thursday afternoon, it wasn't me that won Leroy to the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit. But I was doing the work with the Holy Spirit. Had I not shown up, had I not been close to him, had I not known what this book says, that man dies and goes to hell. But guess what? Holy Spirit and I have done a lot of work before. We were pulling the same load. And the Holy Spirit didn't want him to die and go to hell. I didn't want him to die and go to hell. I overcame my fear, told that man how to go to heaven. Guess what? Bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. You say, what was that? Doing the work of the Holy Spirit. Doing what I'm doing right now is doing the work of the Holy Spirit. I have studied. I have prepared. I have prayed. I have asked him. I've begged him. Guess what? When I'm here, I teach the Word of God and he teaches it to you. He uses my ugly face and my nasty voice, but it comes out. Now listen to me very carefully here. That means heartaches. Do you know when you have a heartache and I get to go through that heartache with you and you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're doing the work with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Burdens, problems, heartaches. Let me show you what I mean. You look back in your educational career. The teachers you respected most were not the ones that you got to screw around and play with in class. It was the teacher that made you do the work. You didn't necessarily like that teacher, but that's the teacher you now look back on and say, I respect that and I needed that, and that's the teacher I felt close to. I'll promise you. The teachers you felt closest to are the ones that made you work, not the ones that you played with. Everybody doing all right? Number three, I got to hurry. This is going to be a little technical. You ready? Two things equal to the same thing are equal to one another. Two things equal to the same thing are equal to one another. Do you know that each of these paper clips are equal to one another? They're the same thing. And guess what? When they're equal to one another and they're hooked up to the same power source, they're equal to that power source. Do you know that I can take every one of these paper clips off here, put one paper clip on there, and it becomes equal to the power source? Guess what? When you hook up to the power of the Holy Spirit, you have the power of God available to you. You become equal with the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what that's teaching. Look at all that. You get to pick up more than you could have carried all on your own. Did you know that that one thing can attract and draw together more than one paper clip could on its own? Hey. Guess what? When you hook up to the power of the Holy Spirit, two things that are equal to the same thing. Guess what? The mud only gets close to itself. The dirt can't help anything else be close. But look at that. Which would you rather be? Pile of dirt? Salvation is a medium of closeness. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Smith, could you stand up again? Brother Smith, have you been saved?
Yes, sir.
Guess what? He and I both know what it's like to be sinners, dying and going to hell, trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Our names are written in heaven. We're going there someday. We never have to face hell. There's a common bond because of that.
Yes, sir.
We have a common bond. Brother Smith, guess what? Man, I blew it today. But thank God I'm saved. How about you?
Yes, sir.
Did you blow it too?
Mind your business.
Okay. You had a bad day too, didn't you? Guess what? There's a closeness there because we have that medium of salvation. Wait a minute. Let me show you something else. Brother Smith, man, I was out last Thursday. I won a man to Christ. Brother Mrs. Eckert and I, we had somebody saved. Guess what? Brother Smith's a soul winner. He wins people to the Lord. Guess what? Soul winning is a medium. It is a bond that will hold us together.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Smith. Make a statement here. I watch more people leave churches over the fact of soul winning than anything, and it's not the ones that usually go soul winning that leave the church. Everybody doing all right? That does. When you're hooked up to that, why do you leave? Now, there's times God moves people away, and I'm for that. I'm not here saying that everybody that's ever left a church has never been a soul winner. Okay? Don't misquote me. But people that get disgruntled and leave generally aren't the soul winners. They're generally not the ones that are involved with the work of the Holy Spirit, teaching in Sunday school, doing the things with the Holy Spirit. Generally, that is a true statement. Whew. Do you know, I have been all over this country. I have been from Washington State and preached in Washington State up and clear up in Seattle. I have been all the way down in Miami, Florida. I have been all the way up into Maine. I have been in Southern California. I have preached virtually everywhere in between. I have been in Mexico. I've been in Chihuahua, Cuauhtémoc. I've been in Monterrey. Been in several different places in Mexico. Guess what? I have met people in churches in all of those places and got close to them. Can I tell you why? Not because I walked up and said, "Boy, I want to be close to you. I want to be close. I want to be close." No. Found out they were saved, and we had a camaraderie. Yeah. Then found out some of them were soul winners. Boy, did we have a camaraderie. We started working with the Holy Spirit together. I started preaching with the Holy Spirit. They knew the Holy Spirit. Man, there was a closeness. The Holy Spirit dwells in every believer. Listen to this statement. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside you. Guess what? That means you have the availability to be close to every other believer in the world. For you to not get along with another believer, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Number four, and I'm done. The communion, I want you to notice these words again. Look at your Bible, 2 Corinthians 13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Notice it doesn't say the communion with the Holy Ghost. It says the communion of the Holy Ghost. Now look at me if you will. Do you know that because I am close to the Holy Spirit and because you are close to the Holy Spirit, we have a closeness? Do you know that if you're close to the Holy Spirit and I'm close to the Holy Spirit, we can and automatically will have a closeness? Okay, there are people here, and I'll use Brett and Melissa again. Brett and Melissa knew Brother Hiles. When I say the word Brother Hiles, they know exactly who I'm talking about. They remember what his auditorium looked like. They remember what his pulpit looked like. They remember what his voice sounded like. They remembered many things about it. In a closeness, and they and I share a closeness. You take Brother and Mrs. Rogers. They'd never heard Brother Hiles preach, ever. Not because they're bad people. Now, they respect him because of the work that he did, but they hadn't heard him. There's not a closeness there. So when I mention Brother Hiles, yes, they respect that. But they are closer to me in that statement than those two people would be. By the way, I'm close to Brother and Mrs. Rogers. I don't think this is a wrong statement. I'm probably just about as close to them as I am Brett and Melissa. Now you start talking about tires, you'll get close to Mark. you start talking about how dumb Mark is, you get close to Leslie. No. wait a minute. There's a closeness because Brett and Melissa and my wife and I, we knew Brother Hiles. You take Brother and Mrs. Lopez and Brother and Mrs. Hawkins. When I use a tender term from Brother Hiles, I'll watch them kind of every once in a while. Say why? Because we understand that softness there. There's that common bond. By the way, we have a closeness with each other because of that. Let me make this statement and I'm done. Almost. I owe it to you to be close to the Holy Spirit. But may I say it this way? You as well owe it to me to be close to the Holy Spirit. Oh, preacher, I just don't feel close to you. Okay. I'll work on that with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. How close to the Holy Spirit are you when you make that statement? I'm weary of this touchy-feely charismatic closeness in Christianity. We want this warm, squishy feeling and think it's okay. But that's not closeness. Just because you feel warm and fuzzy doesn't mean you're close. Just because you can laugh and giggle and have fun and have a good time, that does not mean you're close. My Bible says we'll get close in the work of the Lord. In the work of the Lord. Make about 4 or 5 applications and I'm done. A troubled marriage is someone saying they're not close to the Holy Spirit. Because a saved man and a saved woman have the same Holy Spirit inside them. And if they're working together, guess what? There will be a closeness. So somebody is not close if there's trouble in the marriage. A strained friendship with someone is someone saying they're not close to the Holy Spirit. A strained parent-child relationship is someone saying someone is not close to the Holy Spirit. A strained church member with another church member or a church member with the pastor is saying someone is not close to the Holy Spirit. Because my Bible says it is the communion of the Holy Ghost that brings us closer together. Because I'm close to the Holy Spirit, Brother Barnes is close to the Holy Spirit, we automatically are going to have a closeness. And if there's not, either he's not close to the Holy Spirit or I'm not. It's not the closeness with the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit draws us together. No, it's because I'm close to the Spirit, he's close to the Spirit. I can start talking about winning somebody to Christ and watch Brother Barnes light up because, man, he loves going soul winning. You say, what is that? That's the closeness of the Spirit. Let me ask you a question. You just want to have the warm, squishy feeling? You'll be like that puddle of dirt that's crumbling and falling apart. Or do you want the medium of the Holy Spirit to hold you together and be close? I don't know about you. I've had enough of that. I want that. I want that. How about you? That's what the closeness of the Holy Spirit is all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What you learn tonight could save your marriage. It could save your parenting. It could save many different things about your life, including your spiritual life here at church for the rest of your life. Are you close to the Holy Spirit?